Blog Talk Radio.
Thanks for joining us. This is Sarah.
And this is Jenna.
And this is Heartly Broken Radio. And today we're going to talk about the first weeks after separation. We're going to focus on the five stages of grief and all the emotions that you go through and how to handle each emotion. The first thing that came to mind to me and Jenna when we were talking about this is that when you separate from your spouse, it can feel like a death. And I know that when that happened, when it first happened to me, it really did feel like a death. It felt like this person is no longer in my life anymore, and nobody was talking about him. And it just felt like, you know, one second he was there and the next he was gone. And I remember on my Facebook wall shortly after we separated, somebody posted a list of kind of rights that you have as a person going through grief. And it was focused specifically on someone dying. But I reposted it on my wall because I felt so strongly that it applies to separation and divorce as well. Mm-hmm. And all the things they talk about, one of my favorite ones was if you're at a family gathering and you think that you're going to be fine and you're having fun, and then all of a sudden somebody says something or you see something and it just triggers something, you have a right to leave that family function, go to another room and cry, just be by yourself, because you are going through so many emotions. Mm-hmm. And I was really lucky that I found that article because it kind of empowered me to allow myself to feel those emotions and allow myself to create boundaries. Mm-hmm. And segue into creating boundaries. A lot of people that I've talked to about divorce and separation tend to ask me, you know, how do you deal with this? How do you handle this? And I was asking myself the same thing. One of the things that I'm not looking forward to is when it's the stress that's going to be involved when my daughter gets older. She's only 2 years old now. But when she gets older and we are dealing with things like curfew and other rules, I just know that me and my, hopefully, ex at that time, are not going to agree. And I'm not looking forward to that at all, to the stress that's going to be involved and the constant bickering back and forth and the fact that I'm upholding a rule but that he's not, or vice versa, or whatever. And not only that, but the fact that he, and I'm sure Jenna's gone through this, that depending on why you're separating, your spouse might continue to do things that hurt you. Like for me, he's continued to lie. He's lied about introducing our daughter to his girlfriends, and that's really hurting me. And so I was in a divorce support group. I was talking about this. Like, how do you handle it when you know that these things are going to continue happening? And one of the other people in the divorce group said, well, you have to set boundaries. And not only boundaries like, you know, I'm just not going to deal with that person, not just those kind of boundaries, boundaries for yourself. Boundaries like, I will not respond to this behavior. I will not allow myself to get upset at this behavior. It may not prevent you from getting upset at all, but it will prevent or will help your reaction to it.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
And so, you know, like for going back to my example about rules and such, so a boundary for me is going to be, you know, even though Mike has his set of rules, I have my set of rules, and I can only control my set of rules. So that's a boundary that I've created for myself.
That's very healthy. And it doesn't give the other person power over your mental state, which is so important. Because then if you're not angry at them, then you're not wasting all of that energy and that time. And that's the thing that gets easier the further you get away, because, you know, we're talking about the first weeks, and the first weeks are very difficult because you're going through just a tornado, and it just feels like, you know, a total upheaval of everything you've known for however long. I mean, even if it's just a year that you've been together, you know, that's you know, all that time that you've gotten used to it. So,
One of the people at the divorce care group define anger as thinking something is a certain way and believing that it's a certain way and then having it not turn out that way.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, humans are very habitual. We like routine and we like things to be how we know they're supposed to be. And I think, you know, your brain gets programmed to a certain way of thinking, to expect certain things and have certain things in your life. And when those things aren't there anymore, your brain has to reprogram itself. And that's got to be difficult.
Oh, yeah.
I remember, like, I went from thinking that my husband and I and our daughter were going to move out of our current house into a new house. And he is now living in that house with his girlfriend. And one of the boundaries I set for myself now is I won't drive by that house because I know how much it hurts me.
Mm-hmm.
One time I did have to drive by. I had to drop my brother-in-law off because he's living with them too. And I thought I was going to be okay. And it was horrible. And just thinking about all the things that I had planned, you just, mm-hmm. you kind of have to rewrite all of that stuff.
And I think a big thing that can come with that, with the unmet expectations, there, you know, as with the five stages of grief, there can be depression, there can be anger, you know, you can feel all of that at once, you know, you can feel like crying and then like punching something, you know, but that's normal. It's totally normal. If you feel, you know, if one day you just feel, you wake up and you feel totally fine, that's normal. It's okay. Don't question all the stuff that you're feeling. Just let yourself. Just try to have boundaries with people, with yourself. You know, try to direct it in good ways that are, you know, healthy. And allow yourself, I made a note for the show to surround yourself with people who will allow you to be angry or allow you to be sad. You know people in your life. Or even if they're not, then just don't be around them. Be alone, you know, and just be, you know, in a safe place with your anger. Because I went to a counseling kind of group thing. I don't know exactly what to call it, but there were a group of women, and I knew that that was a safe place. And there were times, and this was probably 6 months after I had separated, that I just all of a sudden got really angry. Mm-hmm. It was the angriest I'd ever been since I left, and I didn't really understand it at all. But it was really great because I knew I was in a safe place, and nobody judged me, and they let me be angry. So, and, you know, and the counselor was telling me, it's okay, you know, I understand, and you're going to have this pendulum swinging back and forth. And it'll, she said, you know, that'll be happening for a while, but it'll get back to normal eventually.
Yeah, that's one thing. Like, we've called it the five stages of grief. I don't know who created that phrase. And
oh, this doctor lady.
the doctor lady. Yeah. It's called the five stages of grief, and we talk about it like, you know,
like it's an easy process,
yeah.
Step by step.
Exactly.
No,
and
not at all.
Like, and we talk about the first stage is denial, and the second stage is this, and the third stage is this. I don't even know all five stages, but anger, denial, anger, depression, bargaining, acceptance.
Yeah.
Acceptance is the last one.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, one thing that I've learned is that they don't come in that order.
Mm-hmm.
Denial is a good first one because you're – that makes sense to me because
right.
your brain is so used to something that
you don't want to believe.
You don't want to
yeah.
believe it. So that's, I think that's going to be the first one for many people.
Oh, yeah.
But then after that, because a couple times I've woken up and I felt really good and I thought to myself, I'm accepting this. You know, this is good.
Mm-hmm.
But then you realize that you're accepting a little piece of it.
Yeah,
and
that's true. That's a good point.
Yeah, and each time that you go back to acceptance, you're just accepting a little piece of it. You're maybe it's because you figured out a way to deal with it. Maybe it's because you finally let something go from the past. But it's not, I don't know if you ever truly 100% can accept something like this.
I actually don't think so, because my parents have been divorced for 15 years and my mom still will talk about, dealing with it. And so, I don't know, but I think that's a really good point. And I think that that's something to, count as a victory. If you can accept pieces of, the process and this is how it is. That's good, because that means you're healing and you're moving in the right direction. So, yeah, that's really good. I really like that point.
Before we move any further, when Jenna was telling me about her notes and she got to the part about allowing you to be angry, that really hit home for me, because I love my dad to death, but he does not handle emotion very well, and especially the anger. And anger has always been my worst emotion to deal with. I can deal with depression. I can deal with anxiety. I can deal with all of those fairly well. It's just anger. I never know what to do with myself when I'm angry. Mm-hmm. And I think when I show my anger to my dad, I don't know if he gets scared or I don't know what goes on in his head, but he is right there quick to try to deflect it. And a couple times he used my daughter against me. Mm-hmm. He would say something like, your daughter needs you right now. You can't be angry right now. You can't be upset. You can't run off and be by yourself. You can't do this. You can't do that because your daughter needs you. And that just made it worse. And so I will strongly, and, maybe it's not anger. Like, figure out, you don't even need to figure out this out. You probably already know. But whatever emotion that is the worst for you to deal with, just make sure that you have somebody that allows you to do whatever that is. And one thing that I learned from the divorce care class was your emotions, I forget how they said it, but it was something like, you are not your emotions. Mm-hmm. Emotions aren't something you are, they're something you do. Mm-hmm. And there really are no negative emotions. Many people think that anger is a negative emotion.
No, it is not.
And really not. Maybe out of anger you can do some negative things. But the emotion itself is not negative. And it's only when we start looking at emotions as positive and negative that we start to, start to not handle them, not go through them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's really dangerous. Because then we can end up like Elsa in prison.
I think that's a really good point. And the emotions are not wrong. They're not wrong at all. So don't, I'm sure that most of us have not had healthy ways to deal with anger when we've grown up. I wasn't ever able, that was wrong. So I kind of would go inward with anger, and I think it became so extreme, and I think that I'm realizing right now that that's where all my self kind of hatred, whenever I was like a teenager and then getting a little older after that, I think that's where it all went. It just went inward, and that's not healthy, because I did a lot of very unhealthy and self-destructive things. And so, and I know some people, I have friends who will get explosively angry outwardly, but, then that is bad, because then you're hurting other people and you don't want to do that. So, we wanted to talk about that today, like healthy ways to, direct your anger. And one thing that I was telling Sarah, I was going to jokingly suggest throwing knives and a picture of your ex. No, I know that's so mean. But I actually... I have some friends who do throw knives, and that, I know that sounds kind of extreme to some people probably, but it was something I just decided to try, and I found out that it was really good to direct my anger at just a cardboard, you know, wall and then throwing them. And,
yeah.
and it just made me feel good, and it got the anger out
yeah.
in a healthy way, and I wasn't yeah. hurting anybody, you know what I mean? So,
And I think probably at first, because I was going to say, when you said you were directing your anger, I think maybe at first that was the anger coming out, but then after the anger dissipated, it's just energy.
Mm-hmm.
It's just energy. That's why emotions aren't wrong,
right.
because they're just energy. They just, that energy just manifests itself in different ways.
Yeah,
so very true. Taught me how to throw a knife. I haven't bought my own yet.
It's fun. It's really fun. But that's the cool thing is you could try something that you wanted to try that's physical, that,
yeah.
you know, like we were, you know, talking about kickboxing running, and running is something I did a lot last year.
You know, it's really fun. It's on the Wii. I don't think it comes with the Wii. It's like the thing that has all the sports on it and stuff. There's one game on it. It's like a obstacle course. And it's the funnest thing in the world to do because you're in the air and you've got this obstacle course and you have to, like, run on the Wii board and then you jump and then you – I don't know if you can duck. I think you can duck because you have the nunchuck and everything. So you duck and you have to stop when the pendulum is swinging in front of you and then there's a crevice you have to jump over. That's really fun.
Yeah.
playing with your daughter is fun, too. I've done that a lot. It was really hard for me to become a mom because I'm very kind of solitary. I need my solitary time. It's not a want. It's not a request. I need it. Like, if I can't have solitary time, I think most people are like that. I go crazy.
Me too.
So becoming a mom was incredibly difficult for me, and it still kind of is difficult. And when I separated, when my husband and I separated, I kind of go back and forth between, I obviously love my daughter. I would not give her up for anything, but there are times when I think to myself, why couldn't we have waited? Because I obviously didn't know this was going to happen. And if we would have waited, then I wouldn't have that burden right now. But then immediately after I think that, I think, no, this is crazy talk. If I didn't have her in my life, I would be swimming in depression right now. Like, she's a ball of sunshine. Everyone who sees her
knows.
And I don't know what I'd do without her. So, you know, playing with your kids, especially if your kids are older, just playing with them and let them know that you still love them.
Yeah, and it's not them. They see you angry, because I've told my kids that a lot. And I've had, you know, kind of outbursts of anger, but not toward them. And I'm just like, oh, I'm angry. You know,
yeah.
And I just tell them, I'm not angry at you. I'm not upset at you.
Right.
And just to be direct with people, if you are going through something, like there have been days where people will start to talk to me about something that kind of triggers, you know, my relationship, and I'll just tell them, I'm sorry, but I really don't want to talk about this right now. I just can't, you know, and that's okay to do that. And, you know, if someone, you know, if they're your friend, they'll understand, and they, you know, they won't. And if they don't understand, then say goodbye to them. You know, so just, yeah, that's a really good thing, is just, you know, make your needs and your wants known. Like, if you need alone time, or you need, you know, time to get away for a weekend, or you need, you know, just find somebody who will understand and who, you know, will help you. Just,
yeah.
And that's hard for me. It's really, really hard for me to ask for help. I mean, I'd rather do anything than ask people for help, but going through, you know, this separation, and I've learned that I do need help for sure, in a lot of different ways. So,
Posting
on Facebook. That's okay.
Multitasking.
Yes, multitasking. That's
great.
What we do here.
I want to kind of go back to what you said about, to talking about playing with your kids. I think that going through a separation and something like this is a great opportunity to teach your kids about emotion
mm-hmm.
and
oh.
about how to handle it. And that emotion should not be scary. And I think that because I think Jenna touched on it a little bit. I don't think in today's society we are equipped to deal with our emotions.
No.
Especially like in my grandma's age, whenever something bad happened, you just pushed it under the table. Mm-hmm. You didn't get mad. You didn't tell your neighbors about it. You didn't talk about it. If someone was getting, especially with divorce and separation, if somebody was getting a divorce, separation, if somebody was being cheated on, you just didn't talk about it.
Yeah.
And I don't like that part of that
either. I think it's very sad.
It is. It's extremely sad.
Because then it's just, people are just living in, you know, prison, really, mm-hmm. because not to say, you know, oh, if there's any problems, just get divorced or, you know,
right,
I'm not saying
exactly.
that at all because I do admire that people would stick together,
oh, yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
In older generations,
yeah.
no
yeah.
matter what. I think that's a really good thing and admirable. It's just, it can be very unhealthy too.
Yeah,
it's like
yeah, there's
saying.
A fine, there's a really fine line.
Yeah. So, I agree. We do need to do that for our kids and just for people around us. And then it'll make you, you know, a more well-rounded person. And
yeah.
that's the thing is, you know, the first weeks after separation, it feels like everything is falling apart. And you're just like, how in the world am I going to deal with all of this? I remember that. And
yeah.
and it was even harder for me because I was still living with him because I hadn't found a place yet. So I still had to live at home for like 6 to 8 weeks. So that was really tough.
Okay.
And there were a lot of things that he would do that would make me very upset.
Mm-hmm.
And even afterward, he still wore his wedding ring for, you know, months and months. And I mean, we've been separated for so long. And he actually recently put it back on again.
Okay.
And it made me very, very angry. But I just calmed down immediately, and I was just thinking, you know, I can't control him.
Yeah.
I can tell him that I don't like it, and I did. I just said, I don't understand, you know, and I was just calm about it this time.
Yeah.
Before I exploded, like last year, a year ago, yeah, I would have just blown up in his face, but I just realized it's not worth
yeah.
it to do that. So I just told him, I really don't like that, and I don't understand,
yeah.
but I can't control you. I just,
exactly.
you know, the relationship is over, and, you know, just speaking up for yourself is a really good thing to do
yeah.
with your ex or just with anybody in your life.
Yeah, and
so.
And when you speak up for yourself, I think understanding that the goal in mind is just so that you are heard.
Yes.
And it's just so that you get it off your chest.
Yeah.
I think what happens is when we confront people who have done us wrong, I think a lot of times we feel like the goal should be that they say they're sorry. And then when they don't, we're even more devastated. I guarantee you that probably 9 times out of 10, your husband or ex-husband will probably never say he's sorry.
Yeah,
and
true.
If he does, then that's great, but don't count on it. So I think that there is a fine line between, you know, sharing your emotions. Ooh, I'm too soft. Sharing your emotions and understanding that you know, might not get an apology out of it. One last thing before we go, because we're running out of time. I wanted to ask you what emotion you hated the most, Jenna.
What
emotion you hate the most, yes.
My. Oh, my goodness. That's a really good question.
Or one emotion you can't use.
That's really
hard
for me.
For you to get through. Yeah.
Well, it's not a part of the 5 stages of grief, but just an emotion.
Mm-hmm.
Anxiety is really hard for me.
Yeah.
And if I start to think about all of the steps of divorce and making less money and what if I don't, you know, get this or get that or what if this happens? Like, whenever I start thinking about so many things,
mm-hmm.
I get so anxious, and it's so difficult for me, and I hate it. I hate feeling anxious.
Yeah.
It is really hard for me to deal with. So, yeah.
I was going to say anger, because I said that before, but mm-hmm. I think anger and dealing with the unknown, like when I don't have enough information to even make a decision, I don't know if that, I mean, that's not a stage of grief, but I think it applies because going through my separation, I kept thinking, well, we can't go to court because I don't have enough money, and we just have to agree to this. And I was ready to agree to his terms, and I'm not going to go into what his terms are, but his terms are ridiculous. They're really ridiculous. And I was just so scared because I didn't know what was going to happen. I didn't want to, you know, pay for all this money. And it was just for a long trial. And it was just last week that I finally got the last pieces of the puzzle. And I now feel like I have enough information that I'm not scared anymore to go forward if it goes to that. That's my daughter.
Yeah.
Okay. But one thing about, I was going to say something about anxiety and now I've forgotten what it was.
Well, I was thinking that you had said that your lawyer was saying just focus on one step at a time.
Yes.
I thought that was really good that you told me that, because that is something that if I start getting anxious and thinking about, I have to do this and I have to do that and I have to do this, then I just start thinking, okay, all right. I need to just stop and calm down and just do the next thing and take one step forward. I can't jump, you know, a mile ahead even though I want to. And that's hard for me, too, to do that. So
I have those same thoughts. Like, oh, my God, I've been living with this person for 7 years, and this person has been, you know, contributing to our income. And, oh, my God, what am I going to do? And I can't do this on my own. But there has to be a time in your life, in every woman's life, when they were single, living on their own, doing things on their own. And so if you get into that mindset that, oh, my God, I'm not going to be able to survive after a divorce or on my own, just remember that you were once single. You were once on your own.
I actually never did that.
Never what?
I never lived on my own before I got married, actually.
Okay.
And I know, and I actually know people who haven't either. And that was one thing. I just wanted to add that because maybe somebody's listening.
Yeah.
Like, I never have.
Yeah.
And it was really scary for me because I was just like, wow, I've never lived by myself on my own, never had to. So that was something I really had to overcome and deal with. But I had a lot of really supportive people who told me you can do this, and and I had help from people and I got through it, and now I actually really like living alone and being alone. I really like it.
I know. I'm not living alone yet. I'm still living with my parents, but even living with my parents, just not having a man in my life, I'm getting to the point now where I'm like, I like it.
Yeah.
I like it.
There are perks.
I mean, not living with my parents. I do want to move out and get on my own because I think it's an adventure. It's a new adventure. And when you think about it like that, it doesn't seem so scary.
Yeah, exactly.
It's an adventure. And when you go out on a new adventure, you have to figure things out. You have to gather information. You have to answer these questions. You have to plan for this. You have to pack this.
Thanks, lady.
And so if you start thinking about it in terms of it being a new adventure as opposed to it being, this catastrophic thing that's happened that, the rug has been pulled out from under you, I think it's easier to deal with.
Because
adventures are fun.
They are. And that's how I looked at it, too. Like,
instead
of looking ahead into the unknown as, oh, it's a dark and scary tunnel, it's like, oh wow, there's a bright light, and who knows what's going to happen. And that, if you do just change your mindset, that is really good.
You had an article that you wanted to do. It was about the five stages of grief.
It's from Psychology Today, and they were talking about they were relating the end of a relationship to a death, and I think that's very understandable, and people get that. And it was saying that, all the things we touched on that,
And we're going to post that on our Facebook page right after this. We've got 20 seconds left. We'll post it on our Facebook page. Visit us at facebook.com/heartlybroken. I think that's the right thing. and we're going to probably do another one in a couple. Oh, gosh, that's too annoying. All right. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
All right. See you later. Bye.
Bye.
That's awesome.